Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, as always, joined by my colleague, Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, as we continue to preview Packers-Cowboys Sunday afternoon, 3:25 Central kickoff from AT&T Stadium in Dallas. We heard from Packers running back Ty Montgomery in the locker room on Tuesday, confirming that he has multiple broken ribs, which occurred on the first play of the game against the Chicago Bears last Thursday. But Montgomery sounds pretty determined to, I guess I would say, explore every avenue or every option he might have to actually be able to play with these broken ribs on Sunday. What's your take on kind of where this might be headed?
Yeah, he said in the media scrum that he had in the locker room on Tuesday that, you know, he's going to give it the full week. He's talking with the training staff about different options. And really, the long weekend ended up, you know, he felt pretty good coming off of that. He can sleep comfortably again, breathe comfortably again, laugh if it requires it. And it's really one of those situations now that you just got to kind of wait and see where this thing is at. We've seen this in the past with Jordy Nelson and, you know, Jared Aberderis and different guys. The thing I thought was most interesting out of anything was the fact that Montgomery talking about the broken ribs he actually sustained going back to the NFC Championship game against Atlanta, which he departed and didn't return from. So he's dealt with it before. He's never played through it. But again, we're just going to have to probably take the week and see exactly where he's at, and the Packers will make a decision from there.
Yeah, and just to clarify, he did not say that the broken ribs this time are the same ones from Atlanta, but he said they were on the same side of his chest. So when I look at this, Wes, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how these guys do it or even think about playing with broken ribs. I mean, now, how do you depict broken ribs in the Lego highlights? I'm not sure how you do that either. And for those who haven't checked out the Lego highlights of Packers Bears on Packers.com, you have to go look at that. Those are really fun to watch. But anyway, I don't know how, you know, we talked about Jordy Nelson 2 weeks after the broken ribs, you know, last January, playing in the NFC Championship game. And now here Ty Montgomery is actually thinking about trying to play with broken ribs in what would amount to basically 10 days after the injury against the Bears. I don't know how they do it. As I said in our insider inbox, the courage of these guys sometimes, it just never ceases to amaze me.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, and I know Jordy Nelson kind of shrugged that off. He was asked about it as recently as probably 2 or 3 weeks ago in terms of what he was dealing with and how he was feeling. And he did mention, I believe it was either 7 or 14 days exactly what it is, but basically from what the training staff and doctors have told him, you reach a point within the first couple weeks there where you don't have pain anymore. You don't feel anything. So he didn't really look at it as like he was, you know, really gutting it out for the team. From his perspective, he never really got hit in that game against the Falcons. So had he been hit, well, then it might have been a different situation.
Yeah.
But so you have to be smart. The tough thing about the running back position is the contact is almost inevitable on every single play.
So no question.
How you battle through that, how you can protect it and also heal it, all questions they're going to have to figure out. Also, Jamal Williams, right next to Ty Montgomery a couple minutes later, mentioning that he potentially is hopeful that he could play after sustaining that knee injury against the Bears. So a lot of things up in the air. The Packers also have Aaron Jones, who played very well in relief of both of those guys in his first real NFL action. So the Packers drafted 3 running backs for a reason. It plays into this. Now the question is, if you do have Montgomery, if you do have Williams, how do you figure out that game plan? That's what Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff have to determine.
Yeah, and Montgomery said at his locker, he feels like the decision will be up to him as to whether or not he plays. We'll see if that's ultimately the case, because as you said, it's not as though the Packers don't have other options. If they want to give Ty Montgomery some more time to rest and not risk anything, not risk any potential further damage to that rib cage or whatever, you've got Aaron Jones, who filled in pretty well. Jamal Williams doesn't seem to be too concerned about his knee injury, though we'll see what that looks like going forward. Devontae Mays, the last couple of weeks, the 7th-round pick out of Utah State, has been a game-day inactive. But you can certainly have him active on the 46-man roster right behind Aaron Jones if you need another guy to step in. And then there's also Aaron Ripkowski, who we saw at times last year could handle an 8 or 10 or maybe even 12 carries a game if it actually came to that in a pinch. So for all the credit I give Ty Montgomery for not backing down in this situation and wanting to show his dedication and determination, he also doesn't need to go out there and kill himself here. I mean, the Packers have some choices.
Yeah, and then another guy that factors into that as well is Randall Cobb. We saw him operating a little bit out of the backfield. If the Packers want to be able to do some of that motioning stuff to you know, make the defense show some of their disguises, that's certainly at play. It comes down to versatility. Mike McCarthy said it a million times. I mean, just having different avenues and different players so it doesn't take you out of your packages. It allows you to still do what you do best. From Montgomery's perspective, it makes sense in terms of him saying that it's going to be up to him, because largely that particular injury is so much based on how the individual feels and exactly, I mean, they know their body better than anyone. The biggest question is going to be how the Packers feel about it and the caution that they want to take with the obviously thing in mind being it is only week 5.
Yeah, no question about it. But with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, shifting gears from the Packers running game to the Cowboys running game, Ezekiel Elliott will be the target here for Green Bay for the third time within the last 12 months or so. And there is still this possibility of a court ruling coming down this week with regards to whether he is supposed to start his 6-game suspension or whether he can continue to play while the whole court case plays out. That might come down sometime this week. It might not come down until next week. And even when it does come down, the ruling still could be he gets to play until the full thing goes to court. So we're in a wait and see mode there. And I think everybody just has to wait and see how that plays out. But that being said, we talked on yesterday's show about the possibility of the Packers getting Mike Daniels back for their run defense. But I think it's worth pointing out the some of the credit that goes to what the Packers have done against the run these last couple of games, and I think it starts with number 97, Kenny Clark, and what he's done in the middle of that defensive line.
It really does, Mike. I first off have to commend you for getting through that Zeke Elliott thing.
I probably didn't really explain it very well, but
it's tough. It's actually really tough to decipher. I am not big into law jargon and all that stuff. So appeals and in different court rulings and things like that. People ask us that in the insider inbox, and I'll be honest with you, I'm swimming with the rest of you trying to understand all that stuff. But getting back to the main picture here, the Packers run defense preparing for whether it is Zeke Elliott, which likely it appears to be, could be Alfred Morris. Darren McFadden is still on this roster, and the Cowboys still have a pretty darn good offensive line despite some of the departures. So it's going to take guys like Kenny Clark to step up, regardless of whether or not Mike Daniels is on the field. And I've been really impressed by what I've seen from Clark so far this season, Mike. Really, the thing that stands out to me the most is he's playing that nose position, a really thankless position in this defense. He's responsible, you know, really for eating up the double teams, getting inside penetration, and really being able to set up that run defense. He's accomplished all those goals, in addition to the fact that he's a little lighter and he's athletic. You can see him get sideline to sideline on plays. So for Kenny Clark to come out, he might not have 4 sacks or whatever, you know, these Geno Atkins type nose tackles have, but I think he's been a big difference maker so far. In a credit to that Packers defensive front, they were taking on a Bears team that wanted to run the football. Dom Capers ends up calling somewhere around, I believe it was 20 base defensive calls in that game against Chicago, which meant a lot of Quentin Dial, meant a lot of Dean Lowry, Ricky Jean-Francois getting in there. And I thought all those guys, particularly even Dial, looking more comfortable in this defense after a little bit of time. But
I would agree.
First and foremost, it starts with Kenny Clark. He's the former first-round pick. He has to set the tone. He understands that, and I think he has.
Yeah, and give credit to Clark, because normally it's been Mike Daniels who attracts those double teams, and Kenny Clark is not the guy having to take on both a center and a guard at the same time in the middle of the pile, so to speak. But Clark is the guy who's been absorbing it, and really, I felt, other than, you know, the fourth quarter against Cincinnati, when the Bengals looked like they were starting to wear the Packers down a little bit with that running game before Green Bay got the stop there late, Other than that, I really think without Mike Daniels, the Packers' run defense has held up pretty well against the Bengals and the Bears. It was a tough go against Atlanta with Daniels leaving in the first quarter, and you're trying to make those adjustments on the fly, and you've got that two-headed monster, so to speak, of Freeman and Coleman for the Falcons. They had their way a little bit with the Packers' run defense, but the adjustments have been made, and I think you're right in pointing out Quentin Dial, a young, I shouldn't say young necessarily, but a new guy
right.
in this Packers' defense who looks like he's coming along and doing exactly what the Packers had hoped, which is to be your classic run stopper in a 3-4 set.
Yeah, and the thing that really is so impressive to me right now with the way the Packers are running this base defense. You go back to 2012, 2013, you remember all the 1,000-pound lines that we talked about with
yeah.
Ryan Pickett. You had, you know, Johnny Jolly in that situation there for a while, B.J. Raji. The Packers, a number of years ago, dedicated themselves to going a little lighter there, which I think has helped improve their pass rush out of that package. They've been really impactful there. They've gotten a lot of pressure when teams have tried to drop back against the 3-4 and throw against it, but they've also been able to stand up to that run with some of the rotations and the combinations that they've been working. Talking with, you know, Blake Martinez, the Packers' inside linebacker last week, and Clark and Lowry, it's really predicated on them and their communication skills, being able to know where guys are going to be and how they're going to fill all their gaps, despite the fact they may not be 340 pounds or a 260-pound inside backer. The game has changed. There's more coverage aspect to it. There's more pressure aspect to it, but you still have to be able to defend the run. In the Packers, you're going to look at a stat sheet, you're going to see 18th, 19th in run defense, but I don't think that tells the whole story here of what the Packers have been able to accomplish and how they've been able to dictate games out of that package.
Yeah, and when you look at this matchup here with Ezekiel Elliott, I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is unless you're going to get ahead by 20 points like the Packers did against the Bears, you are going to have to stop the run for four quarters.
Right.
They are not going to turn away from Ezekiel Elliott. If it's a seven-point game either way or a three-point game either way, Elliott is still going to get the ball. They are going to pound the ball with him and keep him involved. And the Packers have to be ready, Mike Daniels or no Mike Daniels, to stand up to it for four quarters.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, we don't have the pre-production budget to be having interns running around figuring out stats for us, you know, on analytics, but I would venture to guess that if you look at what Dak Prescott's passer rating is in games in which Zeke Elliott has over 100 yards, I'm guessing there's a big difference in terms of what he's been able to accomplish.
No question.
As we said earlier this week, Elliott sets up everything for this offense. The running game sets the tempo. You shut that down, you're going to disrupt the rest of it.
Yeah, no question. And with that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, a smaller aspect here that we've actually neglected to discuss since last Thursday night's win over the Bears, and I guess it just is a reflection of how there hasn't been anything to talk about, and that's been a good news situation, is that Packers brought a new long snapper into the mix on short notice on Thursday night, and the punts, the extra points, everything went off with Tabor Pepper as the new long snapper without a hitch, and that's a credit to a young guy stepping into a tough situation.
Yeah, and we talked about Tabor last week and the issues that he was probably going to be facing coming in with no real preseason. I mean, he played one game with Baltimore, but didn't really have like a training camp. Last time he was in Green Bay was in May. But, you know, he even said after he got into town, I mean, he sat down with Mason Crosby and also Justin Vogel and told them, I mean, whatever you need me to do, just be open with me. If the ball isn't where it needs to be, if you need me to delay longer, if I'm rushing things too fast, I'm trying to catch up to where you guys are.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really proactive approach for him to take because he was very complimentary of Brett Goode. Didn't actually end up ever getting a chance to be on a team with him. When he was in Green Bay, Goode wasn't re-signed, and by the time Goode came back, he was already gone. But he did say, I mean, just the amount of respect he has for him and what he was able to do at that position for so many years. He's just trying to do his best to fill those shoes. There was one particular punt that I know he wanted back just because he felt like he got knocked off his spot, but his linebackers next to him were able to help save him. But for the most part, in terms of just you look at his pure snapping, he was right on point in exactly what both Crosby and Vogel were asking for.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those situations, and I can't begin to get into Tabor Pepper's head and everything he might have been dealing with the nerves and his first NFL game and all that. But I think this is a situation where it definitely matters where the guy played in college.
Absolutely.
This is a guy who was a long snapper for 4 years at Michigan State. He played in the Horseshoe at Ohio State in front of 100,000 fans. He played in some Big Ten championship games with the Spartans. The big stage is not necessarily a foreign thing. Now, the NFL is a different deal than college, and everybody has to make that adjustment. But it's not as though, you know, the Packers grabbed this long snapper off the street and, you know, he was from UW-Whitewater. No offense to the Warhawks and their tremendous Division III program. But going from the Big Ten to the NFL is at least not as big a leap as it could have been, depending on who you bring in.
Yeah, we should have at least said Mount Union there instead. Yeah, but okay. But no, your point's valid because there's something to be said for playing in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Some people ask that question, and a lot of times it is, well, I've played, no offense to the NFL crowds, but I've played in front of bigger, you know, crowds in the past too. In a lot of cases, there's a lot more on the line in a given week than there is, you know, in a regular standard NFL regular season home game. So whatever the case may be, the thing that impressed me about Pepper is he said that right off the bat. I mean, he's been in these situations. The one thing probably working against him a little bit is the fact it was a night game. You know, he said he ended up getting to the stadium about 5-6 hours ahead of time. So he really didn't have a whole lot to do just to sit there, listen to his music and take a nap.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he could get out there. But he did say once he got out on the field, even in that first snap during the warm-ups, he felt right back at home. He felt like this is where he's supposed to be. And, you know, the fact that they had to snap 5 times on field goal extra points, 5 times on punts, and we're not talking about that this week, I think speaks to the fact that he did his job on Thursday.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Attention Packers fans, we're calling you to fill up with Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup. We're talking delicious, hearty soup packaged in an exclusive Packers Superfan can. These cans are limited edition for all you football fanatics out there, so don't miss out. Go on, huddle up, and fill up with this hearty soup. Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we blew it. We spent almost an entire segment talking about Kenny Clark earlier in the show, and it's his birthday.
22nd birthday on Wednesday. So all unbelievable. Right. Again, just kind of reiterating what we were saying before, the guy's now played in 20 regular season NFL games with numerous starts along the way now. The fact that he's been put in that position, 4 starts this year, 6 overall, says a lot about the young man, and obviously we wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah, and as we had talked about, the Packers looking on that defensive line to maybe get Mike Daniels back. We have to see what things look like on the offensive line with David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga. At the end of the day, what this is, you know, the Packers had, after the 2 games in 5 days, the backside of it is you get the rest and recovery time. You hope that that you can get some guys healthy, and the injury report maybe, just maybe, gets a little shorter heading into a game and coming off of a 10-day break as opposed to the usual, 7 days.
Yeah, I made this point in Insider Inbox last week. It is kind of like the rainbow coming out after the monsoon.
Yeah.
That's as tough and as difficult of a turnaround as you're going to face. And I've made the argument, I think, of any professional sport, to be quite honest with you, with the physicality of the game, with how long it takes for guys to get their bodies back. You know, we hear so many times, Mike, a lot of guys don't start feeling back to normal again until that Thursday. So it was a big task and a big ask of them. But the benefit is, and so many guys talked about in the locker room that Thursday afterwards, Mike McCarthy dismisses the team for the weekend. They're allowed to go get their minds right, get their bodies right, and have that opportunity to have now a 10-day break, I believe it was, before this game against the Dallas Cowboys. You take the good with the bad, the positives with the negatives. This was a positive. And now we're just going to have to wait and see exactly, you know, how the Packers come out of this, because it's an opportunity to have a longer break, but obviously 10 days doesn't always heal all wounds.
Yeah, and I know you like it when I do a little research and pull out some stats, so I'm going to throw some more at you here. I looked back through Mike McCarthy's head coaching career and looked at when the Packers play a Thursday night game and then have the 10 days before playing the next game.
Right.
And Mike McCarthy is 9-2 over the course of his career in a Sunday or Monday game coming off of a Thursday from the previous week with that extra rest. And here's the kicker to that. The two losses, one is the Fail Mary in Seattle in 2012, so that comes with an asterisk, as we all know. And the other one was last year in Atlanta when the Packers actually were still very banged up for that regular season game against the Falcons and took Atlanta right down to the wire and lost by 1 point. So when you look over the course of Mike McCarthy's coaching career, some of the better games that his teams play are when they're coming off of these little extra breaks, and the Packers could certainly use that on the road against a pretty tough opponent in the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Mike. McCarthy always talks about those mini buys the way they look at it, and they factor it into their scheduling too when they lay out a season. It's not just by coincidence or happenstance that they take time off, and the way they train their team coming off of that. Guys got back on Tuesday, which is typically an off day in most weeks, but they come back, they get back in the routine. We saw this week they even ran an extra stay program, another opportunity for guys to get some massages in, get some of the grasping kind of stuff done to get some of the nicks and bruises out. So positive for them, and obviously when you look at Mike McCarthy's coaching tenure, the ability to bounce back off of those. I mean, it's one thing to win that game, but it seems like in a lot of ways they've sort of propelled themselves forward into the second half of the season with what they've been able to accomplish off those little breaks.
Yeah, and maybe this break comes at the right time too, and not that you spend any time looking ahead beyond your next game, because the Dallas Cowboys are right there and will certainly be formidable. But you've also got another road game the following week.
Right.
Back-to-back road games here, Dallas and Minnesota. This is a crucial stretch here as then you head in and get closer to that midseason bye.
There are positives, and some negatives to the way that the schedule outlined, but I thought the parity of it was a big positive. The fact that they got that mini bye, you have the three games, and then you come back for the actual bye, things that really can help them now going forward.
Yeah, no question. But with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.